Blog Talk Radio. Hello, 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 my friends. I want to welcome all our listeners in the U.S. and around the world. I'm Jackie Laura Jones, back with you again on Tuesday, October 1st, 2019, and it is starting to feel like the fall season here in Los Angeles. I have to say, we're still having some warm weather, but it's starting to feel like fall at night, getting a little cooler, which I absolutely love. So hello, my friends. It is so good to be back here with you. And we are going to have my good friend, our good friend, Bruce Rawls, joining us today, I believe. So he's going to call in. And before we do that, I wanted to just say a couple of announcements. My family is doing a Course in Miracles workshop Saturday, December 7th of this year from 10 to 5. It's going to be my sister Cindy, my brother-in-law Gary, my mother, my husband Mark, and me. So I know a lot of the listeners out there know my brother-in-law Gary Renard and my sister Cindy Laura Renard. So we are going to do a family Course in Miracles workshop, and I am going to post the link to register for that in this episode's description. So it will also be on my website in the next couple days, Jackie.news. It's www.jackie.news. So, and as always, if you like these teachings and you're looking to do regular online, you know, classes, if you want access to my audio recordings of my Los Angeles course group, and if you want access to the archived podcast, we have over 100 episodes. So I'm slowly kind of releasing that on our community Patreon. So you can go to Patreon, patreon.com/ Jackie Laura Jones as one word, and you can register there. You can become a subscriber if you're interested, if that inspires you. I also have a Patreon link in this episode's description as well. I offer live monthly Course in Miracles classes and Q&A on a particular topic. And that's real fun. So anyway, that's enough of the announcements for now. What I wanted to talk about today, you guys, the Manual for Teachers in A Course in Miracles is a wonderful resource. And Bruce and I are going to talk about question number 16, how should the teacher of God spend his day? So while we're waiting for Bruce to call in, hope everything's okay on his end, we'll find out. We are going to do this, I think, in two parts. And so it's a big thing. Don't you guys want to know always, gosh, what do I do practically during my day, right? How do I practice the course? You know, what does it mean? Am I doing this correctly? How do I know I'm doing the exercise correctly? So we're going to talk about question 16, which if you have A Course in Miracles, I'm looking at the third edition right now. And is on page 40. This is the Foundation for Inner Peace third edition. But if not, if you have another edition, you can just go to the Manual for Teachers. So what I'm going to do is just read the definition of what a teacher of God is here. So you guys, oh my gosh, in real time here, Bruce is texting me. He's having trouble getting on. Let's see. I will say try the phone number again to our friend Bruce, my friend. This is what happens in a real live broadcast. Think of how many shows Bruce and I have done together. And now, for some reason, he's having trouble getting on the platform. So I'm just texting him right now, you guys. And he's saying, any suggestions? So, but what Bruce and I were going to do was read and discuss this lesson. People are saying, well, how do I know if I'm a teacher of God? Who's a teacher of God, right? And here's what a teacher of God is. At the instant we decide to join with another, a decision to join the atonement, we become teachers of God. What does that mean? Well, remember, the Holy Spirit is the right part of our mind, my friends, where the atonement principle resides. The atonement is the correction of our belief in sin. The ego mind tells us we have sinned. The Holy Spirit says, nothing's happened. You have not separated from your Creator. You're just having a dream that you've separated. So the atonement is that correction. Ah, let me see if I can get Bruce here, guys.
Hello.
Bruce.
Hi, Jackie.
Can you hear me?
Yes, it's fine. I tried the link and the phone several times, but it looks like the phone finally came through. So.
Oh, I'm so glad. If you just turn up your volume a little bit, I think we can hear you better.
Sure. Is that better? How's that?
Yay! Welcome back to the show, Bruce.
Thanks. My pleasure. I always enjoy our conversations. Yeah.
Yay.
How you doing?
I am really good. It still sounds a little bit low, your volume. Maybe I'll turn mine.
Oh, okay.
Mine's up. But
okay.
I was telling the listeners right now, I said, this is real, what happens in live broadcasts, right? I was reminding them, I was like, gosh, Bruce and I have done a ton of shows together, like without a hitch. And then sometimes these platforms, you never know what's going to happen. You can't log in. Something happens. So we just go on, don't we?
Exactly. Just keep trying until you get through. So, but I think that's kind of the approach to life too. Is we just keep practicing our forgiveness lessons and our you know mindfulness lessons and you know willing to see the shared interest and everything until it sticks, right?
Absolutely. This is such a good example of that. It's like, oh my gosh, we must go on, even with all this ego. It's a good metaphor for ego interferences, interruptions to the peace of God. We have a huge distraction. What do we call that distraction? The world, the universe of time and space, right? Is our big distraction. And then
it's simultaneously a distraction and seen properly the classroom by which we you know, find the peace that we're looking for. And we don't find it because of the world, which is really a projection, but we find it because of our changed perception about the world, which is that it becomes a way of seeing that everything is either an expression of loving kindness or a call for it. We can shift our perspective and our perception a bit, and we have help for that.
Absolutely. Well said. Oh my gosh. And you've been busy, haven't you, Bruce?
Oh yeah. always. That's a given, I think. But I think that's kind of the norm for everyone these days, it would seem. You know there's it just seems like the acceleration and pace of things seems to be getting busier and busier. So I think it's helpful to remind ourselves to just it's kind of tying into our topic for today, that we need do nothing, but we can do whatever we're guided to do. It's when we find ourselves catching ourselves in that, you know, mindset of urgency or got to do or all that kind of stuff. If we can just remember to just gently laugh at that and say, oh, yeah, there I go again, thinking that the limitation of this particular person I'm identifying with is the real deal. when it's basically a fraudulent idea. Not that we don't do those things, but we can do them with a relaxed perspective, seeing that you know we're not the be all end all isn't the self that we've identified with, the little s self.
Yes, very well said, as usual. Oh my gosh, when I saw that you were calling in, I had already told our wonderful listeners what our topic was going to be today, and I was just reading from Ken's glossary, Index for A Course in Miracles, What a Teacher of God Is. So I thought we would just start with that.
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Which is, like you say in the intro, it's in anyone who chooses to be one.
That's right.
And we're always doing that all the time. We're always teaching one of two thought systems all the time. So it's not like we put on a teacher hat or not. It's just which hat we're putting on at any given moment.
Yeah.
We're always metaphorically wearing one teacher hat or the other. We're either teaching ourselves and everyone else the ego thought system, or we're teaching ourselves and everyone else the thought system of kindness, shared interests, forgiveness, and release from the burden of the belief in separation. Right?
Absolutely. Ken says, who's a teacher of God? At the instant we decide to join with another, a decision to join the atonement, we become teachers of God. Teaching the Holy Spirit's lesson of forgiveness, we learn it for ourselves, recognizing that our teacher, capital T, is the Holy Spirit, who teaches through us by our example of forgiveness and peace. So it's really interesting where anybody is a teacher of God who chooses to listen to the Holy Spirit and learn what is really our own lessons in forgiveness. Once we learn these things for ourselves, you know, we teach through the example, the reflection of that thought system, right?
Exactly. And it doesn't mean we never get flustered or upset by anything. It just means that over time, the duration that we stay in that funk or those weirded out states of mind, according to our inner kindness teacher's definition anyway, become less and less. And the gap between a peace, narrows. And we find that there's a greater ease and sense of inner relaxation that carries us through between the seemingly external things that upset us. And we recognize more and more, it's like, no, it's not about anything that's happening or not happening in the world, or what's happening in the news, or what's happening in the global environmental situations, or our finances, or our relationships, or health, any of those things. None of those things really are a cause being properly. They're all an effect, or really a classroom for looking at the classroom of cause and effect and seeing how we can turn it around and make those specifics a way to get back to the mind and a way to return to the peace that we never left. But it's just sort of like we become better and better race car drivers, and we can, sail over the bumps more quickly rather than spending, hours, days, or years in a ditch grumbling about our bad luck,
Right. Oh, well said. Well, yeah, I mean, I've certainly had my share of forgiveness opportunities lately, and I've shared them on several platforms, the presenter series that I was a part of this last month, and on the Patreon site. There's just been so much that has been going on. And the one thing that I always remember, so I always like to give reminders either in my newsletters or whatever groups I'm speaking with, and certainly on to our wonderful True Forgiveness Teaching audience, which you guys are wonderful and you have great questions, and I love this platform. But the one reminder, this is what I think is worth it when you feel like you're in the throes of everything. This is what has really made it worth it for me all these many years of practicing the course vigilantly, which is just that, you guys, I just want to let you know, if you can do this gently, do the exercises if you're doing the workbook, read, you know, whatever things of Ken or my books or Gary or Bruce's stuff, whatever works for you that you can spend at the beginning of the day, just even a reminder to yourself that you want to use the events of the day for the Holy Spirit's purpose. You don't have to decide what that is. You don't have to overthink it. But at the beginning of the day, and this is going to tie into what we're talking about today, but at the beginning of the day, if you set the foundation and the purpose, then everything that comes up is not used for the Holy Spirit's purpose. It's going to be used for it's not going to be used for the ego's purpose. Rather, it's going to be used for the Holy Spirit's purpose. And that means that when you do this and with the little stuff all the time and you're reminded, Bruce, then when the bigger stuff hits, these miracles are habits. And this thought system, you strengthen the right mind when it's chosen. And when you're thinking with it, it strengthens that part of the mind. So the things that have been going on for Mark and I over the past few months or whatever, 15 years ago, I would have a completely different experience with it. Completely different. So if I could say one thing, it would be, and it is very simple, just have the willingness to start the day. You can do it in your own way, quote a line in the course, quote a workbook lesson, read something, and then just say, you know what? I choose to start the day with using it for the Holy Spirit's purpose, which is always going to mean it's used for forgiveness. And don't worry, because your right mind will translate anything that happens away from the event and taking you back to the mind to interpret the purpose of the event. And you will interpret it through the Holy Spirit's lens, which means you will be reminded that you're dreaming. You'll be reminded that this is a projection coming from you. You're seeing contents of sin, guilt, and fear splintered out. And that the person or situation that's upsetting you is the red flag to help you not stay mindless, lost in a world of illusions, believing in the reality of the body. We use the body. We don't deny the body. We're just changing the purpose of the world and the body first. So that's just what I wanted to offer about how much that has helped over the years, you know?
That's wonderful advice. Just, you know, keep on, and you know, listen to that guidance, and we all have it. It's not like anybody gets shortchanged on it. We all have 24/7 guidance that reminds us to just notice how we feel. Notice what our thoughts are telling us. And if there's a, you know, kind of like an inner tourniquet, you know, in the flow of peaceful, relaxed awareness, that's the big clue right there. Just stop, you know, do nothing. Take a moment to pause. Even if you're, you know, like in traffic or in a meeting or something, if there's something that you find suddenly jars you out of a state of serenity of some sort, just notice and say, oh, I must have wanted to, I must be still afraid of a deeper peace, and I can use this particular circumstance, whatever it happens to be. And that's a pretty wide line to fill in blank with there, because it could be just about anything, and use that in service of the Holy Spirit's curriculum to undo the ego and to say to yourself, I can see peace instead of this, and allow that inner kindness teacher to just guide you out of the alternative to peace and back to the peace. And we can always say, I could see peace instead of this. You know, I can see a different way of looking at things if I want to, and it's that willingness, that little willingness that the Course talks about, it's crucial.
Beautifully said. Yes, absolutely. In this question, Bruce, I think this was a great thing that you email that you wanted to do, How Should the Teacher of God Spend His Day? I wanted to just generalize a couple of things first. We can read from it, certainly, and this could require two or three shows, of course. You know, these are short shows, my friend, so that's why we always encourage you. We get you started, but, you know, the work is only just beginning, right? I mean, each time I get on one of these broadcasts, it's like, oh, gosh, there's so much that one could say. But Jesus does say in paragraph 4, sentences 7 to 9, what we were just talking about, which is perhaps the one generalization that can be made is this. This is as you're practicing. As soon as possible after waking, take your quiet time, continuing a minute or two after you begin to find it difficult. He's saying this because sometimes people find it difficult to be quiet for a period of time and enjoying in the morning. And he says, you may find that the difficulty will diminish and drop away. If not, that is the time to stop. And what this lesson, and I'm just summarizing, or what this teaching is, question 16, I'm just summarizing because it's packed with stuff. Jesus is always talking about the quality of your time spent, not quantity. So not to be too concerned with I only have 2 minutes, or I forgot to put the Holy Spirit in charge this morning. That's okay. You just do it whenever you remember. You do it whenever you remember to do it. And don't hold tightly to ritual or routine. We do need a ritual routine at the beginning, which means some structure, because Jesus is trying to help us retrain the mind. But we don't want to have a routine or structure too tightly, because then we're back in the ego's game of making it so real, because we're not staying to the exact practice or whatever. So we kind of want to find this, you know, middle of the road, meaning to really forgive yourself, be gentle if you're not remembering to put the Holy Spirit in charge at the beginning, or you're not at night having some quiet time, which is also usually recommended if you can. It's not possible always to do that, right, Bruce? So it's about kind of being light about these things, right?
It is. It's the idea is to not be slavishly attached to a rigid schedule or a dogmatic approach to anything, but to really kind of get to the heart of what's being suggested, which is basically to notice when you're not at peace, be gentle with yourself. And that paragraph that you just read, I think Ken's comments and Ken Wapnick's comments in Journey Through the Manual are really good. He says, if you find what I'm asking you difficult to do, in other words, the instructor of this course saying, he says, give it another minute or so, and if it still induces anxiety, fear, depression, set it aside. And then this is really important. Applying pressure to yourself or others is the very worst thing you can do, but you'd be making the error of form real and preventing yourself from returning to the Holy Spirit's gentle kindness. Because since we're all children of guilt, we all believe we will be punished. And then as students of this course, you have to believe that Jesus is a hard teacher, will be angry if we do not do the workbook right. And he goes on, recognizing those thoughts would help us realize we are doing with Jesus exactly what we've always done, holding on to the thought system of specialness. So again, it's not about the form. It's just gently at our own pace and at our own rate, not forcing anything, not, you know, just ramrodding a curriculum down our throats or our minds, but just saying, okay, when I'm ready, I'm going to be interested and willing to give myself the time to, you know, be kind to myself. And I can take a myriad of forms. It may just take, like earlier today, I realized I was feeling a bit rushed with a household remodeling project that was scheduled for Thursday, and I talked with my wife and I said, you know, I think I would feel better if we could push this out a week. So I called and took care of it, and it wasn't a big deal.
Very good.
Fun to do. So it's kind of like, you know, and there's nothing wrong with doing those things in the level of form instead of, you know, trying to be, you know, superhuman and that sort of thing. Just say, okay, yeah, this isn't working for my schedule. I don't have to make a big deal of this. I can just, you know, we'll still get it done, but we'll just change the order around a little bit, kind of thing. Anyway, I think that's kind of an example of recognizing when you're wanting to make a big deal and you catch yourself and say, no, rather than make a big deal, I could just quickly resolve this, you know, or do whatever it takes to, you know, seemingly change the externals. But the externals are really just a reflection of an interchange of mind that's leading us away from masochism, martyrdom, and you know, self-pity. And then the converse, of course, is always the projection of that unconscious guilt onto everyone and everything else. And then we recognize, it's like, well, that never really gets us anywhere. When we see that, we begin to see that there's really no need for perpetuating something that has never, ever worked.
Right.
But it seems to take a lot of time for us to get to that stage, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Jesus talks about that, you know, to the advanced teacher of God, this question is meaningless, right? How should the teacher of God spend his day? Because, you know, when you move up the ladder, Jesus talks about, when we're on the bottom rungs of the ladder, it's helpful for us to have more structure, right? But as we climb up, we're so used to listening more and more only to the voice of the Holy Spirit, the ego naturally just takes a back seat as your right mind is strengthened through continued practice of true forgiveness. So people wonder, well, yes, when we're all, you know, here down at the near the bottom of the ladder, paragraph 3, Bruce, lines 5-7, how much time should be spent, right, during the day? This must depend on the teacher of God himself. He cannot claim that title until he has gone through the workbook, since we are learning within the framework of our course. Now, that's always kind of a sense of confusion for people when they say, you know, you cannot claim the title teacher of God until you've gone through the workbook. Well, and Ken addresses this too here and in other places. He says, Jesus is addressing only students of A Course in Miracles. If you're not a student, the workbook would obviously not be a requirement. But what Jesus is saying here is that the more you are, your mind training is in a structured place. Like after you go through the workbook, you're much more used to putting the Holy Spirit in charge of your day. The workbook is geared toward helping you think and listen to the Holy Spirit more than the ego, over the ego. It replaces the ego thought system. So it's almost like he's just saying, you're anybody, of course, is a teacher of God who practices forgiveness, right? So we want to not take this, you know, to mean that everybody just has to go through the workbook. It's just Jesus is giving us a training program that is going to help us be the best teachers of God we can be, which would be, according to the course, only teaching forgiveness, only letting our behavior and our thoughts reflect the Holy Spirit's thought system, right?
Exactly. And that can take countless forms. When you said training, I reminded of when I was a kid. Probably a lot of people have had this experience too. When you're learning to ride a bicycle, sometimes, you know, your folks will buy a set of training wheels for the bike, right? And then you kind of have something to fall back on if you're not quite sure and you haven't quite got up to speed, literally or figuratively, on your bike and feel comfortable in balancing. But after a while, you know, it's like, well, I don't need these. It's actually kind of a, you know, they're slowing me down here. Extra baggage I don't need, you know. And I think that's the case when we start looking at the rituals that have served us at the first part of our practice of mindfulness then become unnecessary. And it's like, well, the important thing is to go beyond the form always to the meaning behind the form. And then in the case of A Course in Miracles, the meaning is really seeing the shared interest and trusting that guidance that we have go beyond the limitations of specialness and separate interests and all the substitutions that we've made, and see that those really just haven't worked, and there is a better way.
Yeah.
And it's a peaceful way.
It is. And you were mentioning content, not form, which means the mind's content of forgiveness instead of sin and guilt that we're focusing on. And that brings me to, I know we're not reading these in order, but we just go where the conversation goes. In, again, question 16, reading in paragraph 4, lines 4 through 6, duration, because this is a good example, duration is not the major concern, you guys, meaning like how long you practice. Duration is not the major concern. One can easily sit still an hour with closed eyes and accomplish nothing. One can as easily give God only an instant, and in that instant join with him completely. So Jesus is jabbing us a little bit here, right?
I'm laughing only because I'm sure I've, on many occasions, spent hours with my eyes closed and accomplished nothing.
Right.
But it's all a matter of what state of mind you're in, isn't it? I mean, because if you're in somebody wrong mind, if you're in that kind of frame of mind where the world isn't quite treating you with the respect that you think you deserve.
Right. We deserve. That's it.
You know, it's like, well, you know, maybe there's a different way of looking at that. And if we're meditating, but what we're really fixated on is what isn't going right in the world, we're probably not accomplishing as much as if we could just really look at the obstacles, and with our inner kindness teacher, learn to basically vaporize the impact of those. We're not necessarily on the level form, taking out our lightsaber or a ray gun and blasting away at anything on the level of form, in the world of bodies and people and stuff. But mentally, we're essentially doing that by vaporizing the obstruction that those symbols represent in our mind to the peace that's waiting there behind those symbols. So I think that's the idea of the content and the form that we're talking about here, and how it's really important to, really notice the quality of the time that we're spending and not the quantity, as Ken points out.
That's right. And that is exactly what I was going to read, what Ken says about that. Content, not form. Quality of time, not quantity, is important. Jesus is not asking his students to be controlled by a watch or clock. That may be necessary and helpful at the beginning, but it can all too easily become a god in its own right, enslaving rather than freeing us. Remember, the idea is to get the mind's content, not the body's behavior. That is always the ego's goal for us. So we want to get to the mind's content. Let me give you guys an example. This is interesting. There were times when I was doing the workbook years ago where I would set my alarm, right, on the phone, because I would want to remember to do, oh my gosh, this is every half hour, or this is, some of the workbook lessons are pretty frequent. Now, this is interesting. That act of setting the phone timer can be used for the ego's purpose or the Holy Spirit's, okay? If you're doing that, the event itself, the setting of the clock, of the timer, is makes no difference. The ego's purpose would be, if I miss my time, or I become a slave to that, or I'm upset that I didn't make my time, that's the ego. That's furthering our illusion. If the alarm goes off and I'm in the middle of talking with someone or I'm at work and I just have a gentle smile and I say, well, I'll do it the next half hour. That's practicing the course, being gentle and forgiving yourself for not practicing it. So again, it isn't necessary to set timers and do all those things if you don't want to. That's really irrelevant. But if you do that in a dream script, it can serve one of two purposes. And that's what we want to keep our focus on, you guys, is to remember not to become a slave to things like that. Because that can indeed be helpful as long as you're not taking it too seriously. Because taking it too seriously is making it real. And then... Yep. We're using something like A Course in Miracles for the ego's purpose, right, Bruce? So
that can happen, and oftentimes does if we're not careful. I was thinking how, you know, I've gone through the book a few times over the years, and call it Miracles, and I have yet to find a little, you know, form in the back to submit to the Guinness Book of World Records for the, you know, the longest duration of peacefulness. You know, there's nothing in there about that. It's not like it's a, you know, right, a numeric contest of any kind. It's really
right.
It's the in order of the competition. It's really. In fact, if we find ourselves helping other people to be peaceful, that's a pretty good indicator that you know we really want it for ourselves. The word you used a few moments ago, gentleness, I think is so important, because if we can just be gentle, then we're not, you know, using this curriculum as a way to beat up ourselves or to think less of ourselves. A few days ago, I was reminded of a wonderful speech that Jim Carrey gave at the Golden Globe Awards a few years ago.
Okay.
Anyway, he was stood up to announce some awards at the ceremony they call the Golden Globes. Probably a lot of people are familiar with that. And the announcer that called him to the stage says, here's a two-time Golden Globe winner, Jim Carrey. And so he gets up to the stage and says, that's right, I'm two-time Golden Globe Award winner, Jim Carrey. And at night, I sometimes stay awake wondering how I'm going to get to be three-time Golden Globe winner, Jim Carrey.
I did see that.
And is that going to be good enough? Am I going to be okay? Am I going to be enough, you know, when that happens or until that happens, you know? And he was actually being a really good sport and you know, wonderful humor, because at the same time he was acknowledging, you know, that, you know, that the awards are fun and, you know, they can be helpful seen properly, but they can also be, you know, any kind of comparative thing can be a really insidious trap. And I think if we can watch when we're comparing ourselves with anyone about anything.
Right.
That's really a good clue that we're spending our day in a way counter to what this curriculum suggests, which is to go beyond comparisons and differences and see the sameness, which is ultimately what restores our mind to the oneness that we never left. But the sameness and the shared interests and the gentleness are all really key parts of spending our day wisely and you know, looking at the insidious ways we try to pressure ourselves and just say, wow, I don't need that.
Right? And it's, Bruce, that's a great example. And I do remember that. That was several years ago at the Golden Globes. I remember my sister and I texted each other and said, did you hear that? There was some wisdom in that. You know, did you just hear what Jim Carrey said? It was so funny. We were texting each other. I remember that. But and that's a great example. And see, what do we make of anything? Jesus is trying to let us know, you have made all this up. There are no people that are better than you, more successful than you, whatever you're just talking about. We try to top ourselves even, you know, I have two Golden Globes. When's it going to be three? You know, I sit up at night. So, which is hysterical, but that's the thing. So how does a teacher of God spend their day remembering that this is a dream that we made up. So whenever something disturbs our peace, we have one of two choices. We can stay lost in illusion, in which we will, when we place this guilt on ourselves, we experience suffering and sin. When we place the guilt on other bodies, that's attack, right? Condemnation. And so we have to remember, you know what? You're attacking your own projection that you put there so that you wouldn't see your unconscious guilt in your own separated, seemingly separated mind, but that we would see it outside ourselves. So the reason why this course can be so challenging is that we are having the experience that we're a body in the world and people are doing things to us. But Jesus is teaching us it's a false experience. And if you walk back with him to what's behind what the body's eyes are reporting back to you, that's when we can make the meaningful change by saying, you know what? This person that upset me, or this person that I feel less than, I'm comparing myself to, that's a separation idea, but there's no separation in heaven. This must not be real. So I thank my brother and sister for showing me where my mind was at the moment. If I'm a separate body, that's showing me that I'm in the ego mind. So what happens as we're practicing, my friends, is we start to lose investment in this physical sight, body identification, in favor of spiritual recognition of our true identity in heaven. We do this slowly, right? And so we look behind what people are, the behavior of what ourselves as bodies are doing and other people as bodies. We look behind that to the fear. The fear is behind it, which means we're in the ego thought system. And so are those seeming bodies out there who are behaving badly. They're in fear too. That goes directly to what you were saying earlier, Bruce, about people are either expressing love or calling out for it, right? Mm-hmm. People call out for it because they're in fear. So when Jesus says, look past the body, how do we spend our day? We spend our day remembering who people really are. When there's something upsetting that occurs, don't hold your brother there to the ego thought system, to the prison of the ego. In your mind, change your mind about what your eyes are seeing, because your eyes were made to see form. And then don't worry. If there's an action to be taken, you will do it. But that will flow through the right mind. It will reflect into the dream without you even having to decide what that action is and if it's the right action. You will just be observing your body moving through the dream without ego interference. And that is what Jesus is helping us to get to, that happy dream of forgiveness. And it's you won't be the same after that when that starts happening, you know?
Truly said. As you're sharing that, I was thinking, you know, when you look at, you know, parents that are doing their job, so to speak, watching kids acting out, if they, you know, the best parenting usually takes the form of, you know, guiding away from the misbehavior, but really teaching that you know, there's a mental component to it, and an attitude change, you know, can make a difference. But whenever we catch ourselves or someone else misbehaving, so to speak, we can just say, oh yeah, I must have been afraid of the love that is behind that imagined need to get something, you know, some kind of mileage or some kind of strokes out of something in the world. And if we can just kind of catch ourselves and say, oh yeah, I can, you know, choose the grace and the forgiveness and, you know, the generosity of spirit that allows me to not make a big deal out of this passing, you know, temporary, ephemeral, whatever, and just,
yes,
see the heart of the person, including our own, ourselves, and
well
and
said.
Look at that with kindness. Yeah,
absolutely. You know, we're out of time, Bruce. I can't even believe it. But I wanted to say, well, obviously, you know, more can be said about this. And you guys, Bruce is going to be joining me on Patreon to continue this chat If you're interested, that'll be posted later on tonight. So, Bruce, I know it goes so fast. We're going to do it again next month. But, Bruce, I'll see you in a minute on Patreon. And you guys, be well and blessed.